Do we see the world as a hurting individuals trapped, deceived by Satan, caught up in sin? Do we see the world as God sees it? Or do we see the world with a critical heart and a critical spirit? Those people out there doing those things, behaving in this way, acting in this way. How do we see the world? I like that song and that message. Because I want to tell you something, the world really wants to know what is right and wrong. Last year in 2009, they gave the 20 highest selling DVDs. 14 of the 20 highest selling DVDs had a Christian or value-based, family value-based message. 14 out of the 20 best-selling DVDs of last year in 2009 had a Christian value or some family value message in it. They really want to hear what is good. And that's what's so amazing to me, to look at our world and hear all these and see all this garbage on TV, all the garbage movies that come out, and realizing the movies that make the most, those that do the best, are those who have Christian values or family values. And I really think that's important for us. Do we see a world that really wants it but doesn't know how to get it? That desires it and for some reason can't get to it? In this morning, I think I see an answer to that question. I think I see the cause of that problem this morning. Because in 1937, Disney, Walt Disney himself, decided he was going to make a movie. And not just any ordinary movie, but a special kind of a movie. It was called an animated feature. No one had ever dreamed of making, and no one ever desired to make an animated feature. Cartoons were very popular. I'm going to ask a question here to kind of give you an idea about how old I am. How many here can remember going to the movies, and before the feature came on, there was a cartoon? Anybody? Anybody? Some of you don't want to raise your hands. You don't want to acknowledge. I used to remember when we go to the drive-in theater. It was out there on 47th Avenue and Fruit Ridge Road, or Fruit Ridge Road and Stockton Boulevard. And we'd go to that movie theater. And when you seen the movie come out and you seen Mickey Mouse, I was excited. Or Goofy's head come up. You know, and it's like, all right, we're going to see a Mickey movie or a Goofy cartoon. Well, in 1937, Walt decided he was going to make a feature animated movie. Everybody told him, it's going to flop, you're going to go broke, you're going to lose everything, and it's over. And in 1938, Snow White came out. And it was a great success. Won Oscars. They even, matter of fact, gave special Oscars. They gave one big Oscar and seven little Oscars. Anybody know why there were seven little ones? The dwarfs, all right, you guys remember. And the movie is about, and this is what I want to see. I want to tie this because I see God. Even though that what's so tragic about, you know, 14 of those 20 movies are Christian values, they don't even talk about God. But I see an image here, and I see God's Word, and I want to use that movie to illustrate God's Word, because you know the movie. The lady comes out, all dressed up nice, the queen, looks into the mirror, and she says, what? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest? All right, and the mirror gives her bad news. It ain't her. It's not her. She gets upset. She gets envy, pride, ego, jealousy. All this rises up in her, and she wants to kill Snow White. She sends the hunter to do it, and he couldn't do it. Brings her a pig's heart and deceives the queen. Anybody know the queen's name? She doesn't have a name. She is called the Wicked Queen. That's it. She finds out that Snow White is alive and decides she needs to kill her herself, transforms herself into a wonderful-looking person, and now she really looks like the Wicked Witch then, turns an apple into poison, and attempts to kill her. Snow White does die, but with a kiss from the prince, she comes alive. I think as I see that movie and I thought about the apple, what do we usually think of the Garden of Eden? What fruit did Eve and Adam bite into? We don't know, but most of the time we say it's an apple. Do you know that's, what is this called on guys? Anybody? Adam's apple, because your apple is stuck there. I'm serious. I heard that once. But I want us to think about the movie this morning in two respects. The tempter and the temptation. The tempter and the temptation. Because that red apple looks really good on the outside. But once you bite it, it's not very good. And that's what sin is like. Sin can look very good on the outside, appealing, desirable. But once you take a bite of that sin, you're in trouble. Watch this video clip. Anybody recognize that scene? Seen the movie? I think some really interesting things going on as I watched that movie and seen the transaction between her and that wicked witch. And if you pull your outline out, I want to begin with this. I want to look at the tempter. The tempter. The wicked witch. The tempter. I want you to look and think about who she was, how that jealousy, that envy, that desire to be the most beautiful person, that wanted to look in the mirror and claim those words. And the tempter, sly, deceiving, tricky. Does that sound like somebody else to you? Does it sound like something, maybe a serpent? Look at what the scripture says. Now the serpent was more crafty. Why don't you circle that word, crafty? Was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat of any from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God said you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will surely not die." Let's go on. The serpent said to the woman, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Crafty, tricky, deceiving. We need to understand that Satan, the devil, his demons, the henchmen, and all of those that are around him, he's tricky. He's deceiving. He's lying. He doesn't walk it. You need to understand this. When you're faced with situations and you're faced with making decisions and moral decisions, decisions that you got to decide, do I live with the guy or don't I live with the guy? Do I have this? Do I do this? Do I deserve this? Do I own this? You got all these decisions to make. And I want to tell you something. In the midst of all of that, you're not going to see some guy in a red suit, little horns with a pitchfork saying, "This is what you need to do." The devil does not come like that. All right? But the devil sometimes, I want to make sure you understand, the devil, he's tricky, he's scheming, he puts disguises on, he's crafty. If the wicked witch had came as the witch she was, as we've seen in the beginning of the movie, Snow White would have recognized her. But she didn't. I don't know about you, but I wonder when that ugly lady came up, what in the world was she thinking when she listened to her? Yeah? I mean, come on now. We need to start to recognize things from Satan. Satan will deceive us. I want to tell you, I want to make sure you understand this. Satan can be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Anybody agree? You know? I'm not going to say Satan can be a husband or a wife because I get too many amens and would get me in trouble in here. All right? Satan can be a boss at work. Now, I'm not going to say, let me back up. I'm not going to say their demons or their Satan, but Satan can use them. Does that make sense? See, the serpent was a tool in the hands of Satan. And we need to understand, and we need to be alert, and we need to be aware that he is crafty. He's sly. He's sneaky. And we need to be aware of that. He doesn't come in, and I, if you watch that story, as we read this, the creation story here and the fall of man, and we've seen what was transpiring, he just comes in, and it's like, here's all these trees. Can you eat anything you want? And oh, yeah, we can eat anything we want except this one. Because if we eat this one, we're going to die. And he just says, you're not going to die. We need to understand Satan just twists things. He shades things so it looks good. He creates situations and circumstances to his advantage. As I watched that video, did you notice something that happened when the wicked witch is in the window? She begins with a question. Are you all alone? Anybody here with you? Satan knows when you're weak. Satan knows when you're vulnerable. I'm going to tell you, when you hang out by yourself, and I'm going to be real specific, if you're not in a Bible study, you're not fellowshipping with Christians, you're not in part of a church, you're in trouble. I'll just flat out tell you, you're in trouble. It's like you're looking at Snow White when she says, nobody's home. I mean, I tell my kids, when my kids were younger, Mom and Laura and I might go out, and it's like, if somebody calls, don't tell them nobody's home, right? Anybody tell their kids that? They say, well, they're not available right now. But Satan knows when they're vulnerable. Satan knows when he can get in and when he can pry in that door. And I loved it when the witch, I looked at the story and go, somebody must have read the Bible as they wrote that story. The brothers Grimm must have read the Bible when they wrote it. Because it's like, are you all alone? It's like, I got you now. I got you kind of cornered. You're all by yourself. And what was interesting as I watched that transpire in that video there, what funny to me was the animals sure knew it. What was wrong with Snow White? The animals recognized, man, there's something wrong here. This lady ain't right, all right? This is not the right thing. And the animals knew, and the animals could recognize it, but Snow White didn't see it. You ever have your friends recognize some things for you and kind of warn you, and yet you don't listen? Your brothers and sisters in Christ, don't go that way. Don't think that way. Don't believe that thing. Wait a minute. You got to stop and really let's think about this again. As I watched this video, I seen so much in there. Maybe the Spirit of God saying, watch, like those birds just kind of chirping in your ear. No, 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 no. I just seen so much going on. But see, she had a purpose in mind, that wicked queen, the tempter has a purpose in mind. And I want you to know what his purpose is. Look again at the scripture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I want to make sure you understand this. When we talk about sin and we try to tell you, like, well, don't move in together, don't live together, don't have premarital sex, don't do this. It's like, oh, you guys are just a bunch of old fogies. I want to tell you something. The reason God says that is it's going to steal your peace, kill your joy, and destroy your life. Those things will. Drugs, it's just marijuana. When I sit there and visit with somebody, we're just using it recreationally. Yeah, so almost anybody on hard drugs, guess where they started? Prescription drugs. Let's not just talk about illegal drugs. What about, I know people who abuse prescription drugs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Those painkillers, Anybody got some extra Vicodin? Anybody ever ask you for extra Vicodin? People abuse, we think that's, that's no big deal. It's my back hurts and my doctor didn't give me enough. The tempter. See, I want to make sure we need to understand there's a tempter out there. And he's going to twist. He's going to show things just in the right light and just in the right perspective. He's not going to tell you the whole truth. Hey, it's a wishing apple. All your dreams will come true. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's just all what you ever dream of is yours. Just take a bite. Just live together. Just move out. Just do your own thing. Don't worry about it. It's all okay. See, the tempter, he's sly and he's deceiving and he's crafty. And we watch this movie and we can say, come on, wake up. But what I want to tell us is this. If you look at your outline there, I want you to put a little word in there. I want you to write the word watch. I watch for the tempter. You got to watch. You got to be on guard. You can't let your guard down. And I'm going to tell you, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're about, no matter where you're going, you need to be aware that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. All right? And he's not just in Hollywood, okay? He's not just in Hollywood. He's everywhere. And we need to be alert and we need to be watching because he's crafty. He's sly. He's tricky. He's just going to kind of worm his way and wiggle his way into our lives to deceive us for one single purpose. Why did the wicked witch want Snow White to eat the apple? He wanted to kill her. Plain, simple, nothing else. That's what she wanted. Now I'm going to tell you. Satan wants all these things. He's going to present all this stuff to you, but he has one single purpose: to steal, kill, and destroy. And I like looking at this. He's going to steal my peace, kill my joy, and destroy my life. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm having a better life with God than I would have had doing things my own way. And I need to be alert, and I need to be watching. Look what the Scripture says. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Paul in the book of Romans said some good. I'm going to talk about the book of Romans a couple of times this morning. But I want to begin right here. Paul in the book of Romans had a battle going on. And maybe you faced a similar battle like I face. It's like, I know what I should do. I know what I need to do. I know what I shouldn't do. But sometimes I do what I do not want to do. I like that little part there in the book of Romans where you read it. Paul's talking. He goes, I do what I don't want to do. I don't know why I do what I don't want to do. And it just get all those eyes get confusing. But he's talking about a battle. I know what I should do, but it's hard to do it. The Spirit is willing. I know I want to do it. But it's just so tempting. You know, that extra piece of cheesecake is just so tempting. Those Girl Scout cookies that you keep in the refrigerator. And you ate a whole row yesterday. You know, those mint ones. You know, they're in the refrigerator. You know, and they're good when it's hot outside and you get a nice cold cookie. You know, and you just can't have one, right? I need to lose weight, but the cookies are in the refrigerator. You know? But I walked. So I walked yesterday. I walked this morning for an hour. So I'd have two extra cookies today, right? Two extra rolls. I wouldn't eat just two. I'm going to eat the whole roll. Don't have grandkids and Girl Scouts. You get too many cookies. But you know, I'm joking about cookies. But you know what? I think overeating is a sin too. I really do. I like the movie Anger Management when the guy's talking. And he's going, how can a 400-pound guy talk about discipline when he's talking about Buddha? You know? he's going to teach you discipline and he can't even eat right. You know? But we do. We need to think about. When I talk about sin, I'm not just talking about living together. I mean, it's not like living together. Premarital sex. It's everything. The clothes we wear. I was surprised to see what some of the attire on the walking course was. Some of these ladies wear. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say anything, but that stuff was so tight, there was nothing left to the imagination. You know? I think that's wrong. Now, excuse me, I think that's wrong, all right? Yeah. It's wrong for me to have that in my mind. It's wrong for somebody to tempt me. Yeah. But we think, well, it's no big deal. See, I think Satan takes on many forms, folks. You need to watch and pray. You need to watch and pray. The tempter is out there. I like another passage. I should have put it in here, but I didn't. I should have wrote it in there. The scriptures talks about he's roaming the earth like a lion, seeking to whom he may devour. And he knows when you're weak. He knows when you're down. He knows when you're depressed. He knows when you're sad. He knows when you're frustrated. He knows when you're stressed. He knows your weakness. And he comes in and he says, is anybody there? Anybody here? Are you all alone right now? Nobody cares about you. Nobody's concerned. It's, oh, you poor thing. Let me help you out. Here's an apple for you. We need to realize he's crafty, he's sneaky, he's deceiving, he's sly. He's just structuring circumstances and situations. So here's an apple. Let's eat it. Let's look at the apple. Anybody want an apple? I was going to bring apples and give everybody an apple this morning, but I just couldn't get to it, and I went and looked, and I just didn't have a chance to get you an apple, but I was going to get everybody an apple this morning. I love what it looks like. This is a whole, this is where the sermon series began for me, and this message is to me one that I really enjoy, because, sin looks so good. I loved it when they dipped that apple, and she pulled it out. And that apple turned into what? A skull. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what sin wants to do. And it can look so good. And it can taste so good. And it can be so appealing that, it's just an apple. It's just a little sin. It's not that big of a deal. It's only once. I'll never do it again. And it looks so good. And I just, the whole image for me, and like I said, this whole series bloomed from this one picture right here. That it's sin looks so good, but once you take a bite, you're dead. Steal your joy. Steal your peace, kill your joy, and destroy your life. It can sound so good. Looked all polished and shiny and red, and yet it's death. See, I don't think we approach sin as serious as we should. It's no big deal. It's not that big of a sin. It doesn't matter that much. It's not going to bother anybody else. It's just me. Nobody should judge me. Just be tolerant. But it's sin. And see, I want to talk about temptation right now. I talked about the tempter. I want to talk about temptation. Look what the scripture says. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Sin. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. If you look back to the story of Adam and Eve and the apple, the fruit of the tree. I don't want to say apple because I don't know what it was. If you look back to what she was talking about and what Eve spoke of, she spoke of every one of this. It looked good for food. It was pleasing to the eyes. It would make you wise. Do you see those three in her remarks? Jesus was tempted. These three were right there in Jesus. You need some bread. Let's take care of your flesh. Let's give you something to eat. Throw yourself down from the pinnacle and people will honor you. See, Jesus had the same temptation. We are tempted in these three areas of our lives. Now, usually we reserve the word lust for sex, all right? That's usually what the word lust is referred to. But lust is a bigger word than that. It is a consuming desire. It is a want. It's something you want to pursue, something you want to have. And so as you look at that, he's not talking about just the lust of the flesh and sex, and that's what that is right there. We have fleshly desires. When we're drawn away, porn on the internet, dirty movies, fleshly desires. And we need to be on guard and to watch. Because the devil tempts us with these desires. And it's not just those desires. I think, again, food is a desire. I had that, and I tell you, it's no big deal. There's nothing wrong with drinking Coke and Pepsi and all of that. But for me, when I had to go every morning and get my 44-ounce fill, not just once, but three times a day, I think I had a problem. You know? It's no big deal. There's nothing wrong. But it had become a problem. You know, and if I challenge people to leave certain things alone, and I can't leave Pepsi alone, there's a problem. There are the sins of the flesh, and we need to be on guard. And we need to watch for those things and guard our lives and guard our hearts from those things. Because there is lust of the flesh, and we need to understand that. And we need to guard ourselves in those areas. I'm going to say it again. I think one of the worst things, and again, as I was up there at Folsom Prison last week, the internet is just it's a tool of the devil if you're not careful. It can be a blessing and it can be a tool of the devil. And we need to be aware of those things. And so we need to watch for the lust of the flesh. And it can be so deceiving and slight and, oh, it's no big deal. It's just an R-rated movie. And remember, I told you it didn't matter what the movie's rated. It matters what it causes you to think and causes you to conceive in your mind. It could be a PG movie and still be a bad movie. I'm serious. We need to be aware of that. It doesn't matter what the movie's rated. We need to be on guard. We need to watch that. You need to watch those fleshly desires. Drugs. Drugs is a fleshly desire, isn't it? Your body gets hooked on drugs, cocaine, whatever, meth, whatever that stuff is. It becomes a fleshly desire. And we need to be on guard for those things. Lust of the eyes. What is lust of the eyes? Lust of the eyes are the things of the world. Yesterday I was sitting around. And I went over there and dropped some stuff off. Been over at where they were walking for the Relay for Life and seen some of the stuff there. And I was sitting out just kind of thinking. And I'm going, you know, there's some things I need and some things I want. Anybody in that boat? Yeah. I want, and I could, you know, it's like, man, I want. And we get caught up with the lust of the eyes. You know, you got to have the new car, the new home, the new clothes. I don't know what it is. You know, the lust of the eyes, those things that you feel I just have to have. If you don't think you have an idea what you have to have, watch some commercials. They'll tell you what you need, okay? Just turn your TV on and they'll show you exactly what you have to have in all those commercials on TV. So be aware that we want to pursue these things. The lust of the eye are the things of this world that we feel we just got to have. I just have to have. I've been looking at cameras. I want a camera. The camera I want with the lens I want is about $1,300 for a camera. Now, do I need it? That's what I was thinking yesterday. I'm setting out in my van. You know, do I need a new car or do I need a new camera? Well, I need a car and I want a camera. But we battle these things. Don't, you know, am I the only one that does that? And you might make fun of me wanting a camera. What is it for you? That new dress? New pair of shoes? A new shirt? Guys? You know, cars? Motorcycles? How about this one? A new computer. That's another thing I want. I don't need it yet, but I want it. Doesn't that count? And you know what? Do you ever feel this? Do you ever feel like I deserve it? God, I've did all of this. I've given all of this. I've done all of this. God, don't I deserve? Or how about this one? Why does somebody else always get it and I never do? Anybody? How come they don't do as much for God as I do, and they? Anybody besides me feel this way sometimes? I tell you who you want to run around with, though, for luck and stuff, is Laura. Laura went to Del Taco. Del Taco had their annual grand opening kind of thing, and Laura was there, and we enter the contests and all of this, and they pull a name out, and Laura has a ticket, and she won a towel and some bottles, and then they pull a name out, and Laura wins a Wii. You know, $299 toy, I think it is. Yeah. It's great when you got kids and grandkids, but it's bad when your wife beats you up bowling and golf. She beat me at golf. You know, that's pretty bad. But we want, you know, now we want, you know what? How about this one? I need to get the Wii exercise stuff. I don't want it, but I need it, because see, then I could lose weight. Now it becomes a need, right? Do we ever do things like that? Twist things around so that wants becomes needs? See, that's it. And Satan can make it so appealing and so desirable. Well, everybody else has it. You should get it too. Everybody else is doing it. Oh, you sacrificed over here, so this is a little blessing over here. See? I think Satan does those things. He twists and he's sly and he's crafty. And it looks good out there on that tree, that red apple. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. But also we got the pride of life. This is your honors. This is your professions, your degrees, I got my doctorate. I am Dr. Gary Dew. I want you guys to call me Dr. Gary Dew from now on. Does that sound okay? Address me as Dr. Gary Dew. Matter of fact, Dr. the Great Gary Dew. All right? I'm joking with you. You know I wouldn't expect that. I would be humiliated if you did. I was telling somebody the other day, that paper's not really worth a whole lot. It's in a box at my house because it doesn't buy me anything. It doesn't give me anything. But that gave me an education that I really appreciate, though. But some people get wrapped up in that kind of stuff. The honors, the degrees, the job, climbing the ladder of success. You know, we get caught up in pride. Now, there's one thing I know I don't have a problem. I don't feel I'm prideful, but I don't have a problem with my ego, okay? I know that one. I stroke my ego all the time. And you know, I don't, you know. But we get caught up. And Satan can make it sound so appealing and so desirable, and it's okay. Don't worry about it. Yeah. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That apple looks so good on the outside. Everybody else is doing it, and everybody else has it, and everybody else is getting ahead, and everybody else. Why can't I have a little bit? Why can't I get blessed? Why can't I? And Satan comes along and says, yeah, you deserve it. You were in church Sunday morning. And you sat there for 45 minutes while that crazy guy preached. So you're going to get a big blessing. Yeah, you deserve it. Yeah. And then you go, yeah, well, you know what? Maybe I do deserve it. I am. I'm not that bad. And see, we feel we'll be the exception, you know. And you know where it ends up. You've seen it happen. You know that's the path, and you know where that path goes. But see, I'm going to be the exception. That won't happen to me because I'm different than they. I know everybody, I know 99% of the people go that way, but I'm going to be the one that doesn't. So I can do it and not get caught up in it. See, we need to see the battle we fight. Look at the scripture right here. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. All right? Who's the tempter? The devil. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted by his own evil desires. He is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, he gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Steal, kill, destroy. And it starts in us. You know, I like that as the wicked witch gave that apple. Ask, what's your dream? What is it you want? Just state your dream and then take a bite of this apple. And you know what she wishes for as a prince. And she takes a bite. Satan offers you your dreams. Whatever you want. Whatever, that bigger home, that greater success, more money in the bank, whatever it is. A happier life. A better life. At least it looks better on the outside. If you just come over this way, it's nice and shiny. But you take a bite. And the peace is gone. The joy disappears. And life is no more. See, temptation, it's real and it's true. And Satan is after us and he deserves to see us. I wanted to make a little correction on your notes. I put it down here. If you look on the, go back over where it says, I got James 1, 13 through 15 twice. That verse under poison apples is 1 John 2:16. So if you look at the very bottom where it says James chapter 1, 13 through 15, it should be 1 John 2:16. I don't know how I did that when I was cutting and pasting and putting it together. Somehow I messed up, but I want to make sure you had that correction. But here's the question I want to ask you this morning as we kind of bring this to a close. Should Snow White have known not to take a bite? Should Snow White have known not to bite the apple? Should she have known? I mean, you know, that's one ugly looking woman. All right? And, I mean, the birds are kind of giving a signal. The animals. Should she have known? I don't know. But I ask you this. Should we know before we jump? Should we have known before we took that bite? Should I have been aware before I crossed that line? See, I want to challenge us to be aware. So if you look at your outline, I want to put it this way. I'm going to flee temptation. And I'm not talking about the little fleas on dogs, all right? That's not what we're talking about. I want to say this as plain as I can. Look what the scripture says. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of the pure heart. Flee. Here's what I want to tell you. When you feel tempted, when you feel like Satan is out there and he's got your heart or he's trying to twist some words in your mind, he's trying to tell you, ah, it's okay. He's trying to tell you, ah, don't worry about it. Everybody else is doing it. Ah, you're going to be the exception. Ah, it's only once. I'm going to tell you, run, all right? Do you hear me? Run from Satan. Run from the temptation. Run from those things that call you the wrong way. Run, but don't just run from them. You got to run somewhere. The smart thing for Snow White would have been to say, they ain't here, but I'm going to go find them. Give me a minute. Am I right? Wouldn't you agree? Snow White, yeah, are the men here? No, they're not here. You wait here, and I'll go find them for you. And run down to where those seven dwarfs were working. We need to understand when Satan is tempting us, we need to run away from Satan, but we need to run to our Christian brothers and sisters. We need to run to our small group. We need to run to our church. We need to run to someone that we have in our lives that we can say the hard things to and that will say the hard things to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will be tempted. Some of you, before you get out this door, will be tempted. Some of you, before the sun goes down, will have some difficult decisions and some temptation in your life. What are you going to do? Admire it? Oh man, that apple looks so good. Mm. Nobody's ever going to know. Don't worry. Don't worry. Satan tells you. Nobody will know. This is between you. I think this is the most awesome thing for Satan. Satan will sit here and tell you. It's just you and I. Nobody knows but you and me. I'm not going to tell a soul. If you don't tell anybody, nobody will find out. This is just your and my secret. But once you take that bite, Satan goes, hey, look over here. Am I right? Come on now. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. Satan will tell you, he's not going to tell anybody. Satan will tell you, nobody's going to find out. But as soon as you do it, it's out there for everybody to see. And you're going, he lied to me. Duh. What do you expect the deceiver and the liar to do to you? You need, and I need, to run from sin. Don't play around. Don't play with fire. Don't dawdle. Don't sit there and think about it. Don't try to redefine it. I love what Satan did when he was talking to Eve. Did God really say don't eat it? Is that how you define is? I mean, come on. Run from sin. Can I get any more specific? Put a block on your computer. Block M-A-N-A and all that trash on your TV. You know, I remember when the magazines were behind the counter. And you had to ask for them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now they're in the front. And now they come to your house. They're not even brown paper wrapping anymore. They're wrapped in cellophane so everybody can see what you're getting. You know, they don't care. Run from sin. If your boyfriend is saying, hey, move in, it's just once, get off of it. I mean, come on. It's just one. Nobody knows. Am I being mean? Run from sin. Run. Don't play. Don't dawdle. Don't admire it. Oh man, look how nice that looks. Run. But run somewhere. The problem is most of us will run into ourselves. And you won't call somebody. You won't pray for somebody. You won't ask somebody to pray for you. You won't get in a small group. You won't come to church next week and you'll wonder what happened. You did it to yourself. Run. But the sad truth is, we all sin. We all. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We're all sinners. But God forgives us. So I ask this. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. When I admit, that's what confession means. It means to admit. God, I messed up today. My mind was in the gutter. My desires are out of whack. My ego's out of control. I don't know what it is. I don't know where your problems are. I know where mine are. But when I fall, when my patience runs thin, when things quite don't work out like I expect, I can confess it. And I can ask God to forgive me. And what's amazing is, He does. Not because I deserve it, not because I earn it, but because He's a God who loves us. I want to challenge you. Because see, when you do, I want you to see what happens when you do. Watch this video. The movie has to end on a high note. Everybody's happy. Everybody's excited because there was an antidote to the poison apple. A kiss from the prince was an antidote for the poison apple. The antidote for our poison apple is Jesus Christ. He died for our sins to cleanse us if we confess them. And what's amazing is, look what the scripture says. I tell you that in the same way there would be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. God wants us to be right with Him. Yeah. You ever have a child you caught doing something wrong? And you sat there and you try to talk to the child, and the child's saying, "No, I didn't do it. No, I didn't do it." And you watched them do it. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. You watch that child do that, and you ask them, "Did you do that?" And they're going, "No." And you've seen them. You're just like, you know, it's like, "I was watching, man." You know? And God's sitting there watching us, and when we mess up, all He says is, "Come." And there's going to be rejoicing. Just as those animals and all the rejoicing went on, God wants to rejoice over us today. He does. Bottom of your page, I put it two ways for you. I need to run from, I don't know, you got to put something down there. What do you need to run from? What is that temptation, the tempter? What is out there that you just need to run from? I don't know what it is. You know, whatever it is. You know, a lot of times Sunday now, you know what I do? I let Laura drive after I get out of church. Because that's not a good time for me. It's like, we're going to go out and eat. Okay, you drive. Because I don't want to lose my patience right after I get out of church. So I let Laura drive now. We're going to go out to eat. It's like, okay, Laura. And I hate, never mind, I like driving. I like being in control. But what do you need to run from? I'm serious. What do you need to run from? What is it? A TV, a computer, a desire for more, a lust of the flesh, a lust of the eye, a pride of life. What is it you need to run from? And then if you look at the next question, I put it this way, I need forgiveness for. What is it that has trapped you that you need to let go of? What is it in your life that has just crushing you, that Satan is using, he's twisting, prodding, he's crafty, he's sly, he's deceiving, he's lying. What is it you need forgiveness for? God wants to forgive you. I like that scripture. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one who repents than 99 who say, "I don't have anything to say." I want to ask you, this is yours. You can write on it. I'm sure I'd really like to see you write something. I'm not going to collect them. I don't want to see them. I got enough of my own garbage to deal with. And you might write something. Then I want you to take it home and shred it after you prayed over it. Burn it, whatever you want to do. But I want you to go out of here with a clean heart and righteous before God. I want you to go out of here as a whole person, new and fresh in the presence of God. What is it you need to run from? And what do you need to confess? Let's pray.